Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind, WisPolitics and Wisconsinized look at this week in the Capitol. First, WisI was there. A Milwaukee Bucks official says we are very serious about putting in a bid for the National Democratic Convention in 2020. And the state agriculture secretary says you may have heard about the stink bug on the east and west coast in 22 Wisconsin counties. Representative John Mako said, artificial intelligence, WisI was there.
I am here as Citizen Lazary and as chair of the Milwaukee 2020 bid effort. You know, we would have been happy with the Republican National Convention, but what we really liked about the Democratic National Convention was that there's no incumbency. So for a year and a half, this is going to be the road to Milwaukee. Milwaukee is going to be in the news, and it's really going to be, close to, billions of dollars of free advertising for the city. And this is a real chance for us to remarket and rebring Milwaukee out to the world and show the world what Milwaukee can be and what Milwaukee is. And I think that's what I'm most excited for, and that's why I'm really proud to be a part of this effort and eventually bring the Democratic National Convention to Milwaukee in 2020.
I read a fascinating story in the March 12th issue of the New Yorker about the brown marmorated stink bug, which has been consuming crops on both coasts. The article says it's just a question of time till it comes to the Midwest. Is this a real concern for you?
It's actually already here.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been in Wisconsin?
We've been trapping it. It's primarily been, I think we've detected it in 22 counties in Wisconsin. And it's mostly been found in the Madison, Milwaukee, Waukesha, and then I think up in the Green Bay area. It affects many, many hundreds of different plants,
yes,
including fruits and...
That story said they eat everything.
And corn. Typically, you have pests that either focus on, being a household pest,
yes,
or a crop pest.
This one is
this
both.
Actually does both.
The Dalai Lama is an activist, but he's an activist with love. And I think we can become much more powerful in our activism if we're able to get past the anger and realize that it's ultimately not going to be helpful, I think, in promoting the deep kind of change that I think our nation needs. If people are saying things which we think are destructive, it's really because they're confused and deluded. It's not necessarily, I don't think it's because they're malicious.
I'm going to tell you this and you're going to say I'm full of hooey. Nobody needs AI. I don't need it at all. What I need is, if that's the solution to where we're getting, then we need to do that. I took a lot of calls from folks in my district when Stevens Point changed their curriculum and dropped a whole bunch of classes and added a whole bunch more. Now, I know why they did that, and you ladies just articulated exactly why they did that. They're looking forward. Mm-hmm. But folks don't get it. Mm-hmm. And we have to do a much better job of branding as to why we're changing, where we're moving, and why that makes some sense.
If you think about the U.S. healthcare system right now, it's hard to navigate. There's rising costs. There's tens of millions of people that are still uninsured. And even though we spend twice as much as other developed countries, people are still not getting the healthcare that they need and deserve. And one of the things is not to just think about the clinical conditions, but to talk about the social determinants. 40% is due to social factors. Do you have a job? Do you have access to quality food? Do you have transportation? Do you have safe and affordable housing? So many times I go and visit my members, and it's a pregnant mom, and she's couch surfing. Imagine being pregnant and not knowing where you're going to be living next week.
We teach our kids to think carefully before they act. And I think it's right for us to demand that our legislators do the same thing. I look at the laws that you're talking about today, and I've had very little time to review them. But what I see is the creation of a new DOJ bureaucracy that heavily increases law enforcement mindsets in our schools. I see laws that create the risk of criminalizing behaviors in children who are desperate for guidance and mental health supports, not for arrests. I see us creating and encouraging a culture of accusation and not support. I see us encouraging an increased presence of guns and armed guards in our schools. We could adequately fund mental health supports in our schools. That's one wonderful way to increase school safety. We could improve safety in our broader community through sensible gun legislation.
JR, is it fair to say the legislature has gone home? Is this session ended?
No, because they left Thursday night. The assembly did, sending a bill back to the Senate with this background check provision, and now put this in the Senate's lap. And the last word we got on Thursday from Julia's office was, we will consider it before deciding what to do. So this is not yet done, I think.
Do you really think that Scott Fitzgerald is going to bring the Senate back for that bill on that would extend background checks?
I have my doubts, but you never know, like, the final session, like, dynamics, you know, the politics of it. So that's to be determined. But the indication on Tuesday, I mean, we caught Fitzgerald on Tuesday as he walked off the floor and said, we're done. We're not coming back. So they got to figure out what they want to do about this bill.
Well, but okay, background checks. Mm-hmm. Do you think his caucus, the Senate GOP caucus, wants to be on record on that bill?
I have not surveyed the entire caucus. My guess, if I had to guess, is that no, they don't want to come back and take up that issue.
That's why I think they've gone home. Okay, but let's focus on what did pass. Mm-hmm. Lots of deals cut this week. Let's start with the school safety bill. 28-4 vote in the Senate creates a DOJ Office of School Safety to administer grants. The school safety office will help schools, law officers develop school safety plans and provide training, requires teachers, counselors, and other professionals to report threats of school violence, and the Republican senators push back on Dems on gun control. I just got off the phone with Bob Lang of the Fiscal Bureau. This is $100 million that will be spent over the next few years. In other words, it's not a $100 million drain in GPR for each of the next few years.
It's a $100 million drain in this budget because we have the surplus projected.
You have to score it against this budget.
Projected. It goes into a continuing appropriation, means they put the money there, then it's spent over a couple of years. So we take the hit now, but not like a recurring pot of money.
Well, and what about the Democrats saying you're giving it under the control of an attorney general that wants to arm teachers? My understanding is this cannot go to arm teachers.
Schimmel said that wouldn't be a consideration in how he gives out the money. Now, Democrats will be very sensitive to who he does give the money to and how it's doled out, so watch for how that plays out. What's kind of interesting is Republicans came in with six bills from the governor, right? The Senate took four bills, put them into one amendment onto an open enrollment bill, did those, didn't do two, and then left the door open for this assembly. Assembly kicked the door open to taking up those other two and then amending one of those to send back the background check. So we had a little bit of a interplay here of how this procedurally would work to get this stuff done.
And the money, the $100 million, cannot go to pay police salaries, correct?
I believe not, no.
And I also heard Fitzgerald on the floor of the Senate said some of these grants could go to private schools.
I believe the door is open
I
to public, private, tribal.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Okay. And Democrats like Erpenbach said, we can put moats around schools, we can do everything we want to try to keep our kids safe, but we're not dealing with the main threat, which is guns. And Senator Fitzgerald said, look, guns are an issue, I recognize that. This state Senate cannot solve that. So they finessed the gun debate, didn't they?
Yeah, it's $100 million, which sounds like a good chunk of change, but there are how many school districts in the state of Wisconsin?
424.
Yeah, so it's not going to be a huge amount of money to do a lot of stuff. So watch how it's doled out, where does it go, how much each district get, how do they use it, those kind of things to watch.
Okay, now let's listen to a little bit of the Senate debate on the issue. Senator Larson brought up the gun issue. That's when Senator Fitzgerald said, guns are an issue, but we can't solve it. And State Senator Vinehout said, for farmers like me, guns are a tool. Let's listen to some of that Senate debate.
I'm glad that we are finally taking up something that is going to prevent gun deaths in our state. But I think it's kind of silly that we're talking about school safety. We are talking about the symptom of the problem without talking about the heart of the problem. It's silly for us to continue to do these special sessions and hope that these Band-Aids address the greater systemic problem. And the response has been a collective shoulder shrug by the political establishment in Washington, D.C., and by those here in Madison. I'm glad we're taking up something. We could be taking up a lot more.
I don't disagree that this is a national issue and a national debate that needs to continue and will continue. But I'm also not going to pretend that we're going to solve that in the Wisconsin State Senate this evening. So my point of order is going to be that I just don't believe discussing an amendment of this scope and breadth that deals directly with gun control is going to be germane to this bill this evening. I don't want to oversimplify it, but it puts $100 million into both public and private schools throughout Wisconsin to improve their physical security, and it works in and around the plans that they've already been working on or will develop in the future. I can't believe there'd be anybody in this body that would vote against this bill at the end of the day. We're putting $100 million into schools.
I feel like those constituents that I represent need to have their voice heard today. We must recognize that firearms mean something very different in different parts of the state. I heard the pain in the voice of the senator from the 6th when she told us about the children's funerals that she went to. But I have to tell you, as a farmer, a firearm is a tool. So maybe this looks like a fig leaf to some of you, but for those schools that really, really hurt right now, it's a start. It's a step in the right direction. If we're ever going to move forward on this highly emotional issue, we must recognize that there is a whole world outside of the big cities. And that world is also called Wisconsin.
That was from the Senate debate on guns. Now, yesterday, guns again surfaced in the Assembly for a long time. The Republicans offered that to extend background checks, let me get it right, to rifles and shotguns. Was that offering their members of their caucus political cover, or were they, how serious were they?
It's an excellent question. I mean, to look at the politics of it. One, Kathleen Vinehout, we just heard talking about, you know, this is a tool, weapons, guns are a tool for farmers. This is a person who's running for governor in a party whose base is there on background checks, who is there for more than background checks, an issue that is 80%, according to the Marquette poll, with all voters, and is voting against that. I am not sure how it's going to play for her in that primary.
Yeah.
I don't think the impression it's going to help her from talking to people. With the Assembly, you have a lot of swing seats that are very nervous about this fall. Again, an 80% issue. This may give them something to go home and talk about. Now, the flip side is, how is the NRA going to react to this? You know, what were the calls they were getting? I saw some traffic on social media yesterday from gun rights advocates slamming this. So do they risk losing the base a little bit or irritating the base on this issue by taking up this bill? You know, that's all to be seen.
I bet you a spotted cow the Senate doesn't come back to take that Senate bill.
That's probably a good bet.
But
I never say never. Never say never in politics.
I understand. Okay, there was a deal, and they also closed the deal on juvenile prisons. And basically, the Assembly took the changes made by the Senate. Mm-hmm. And the Senate balked at that $80 million Assembly plan for regional county-run facilities. The final compromise strengthens the Joint Finance Committee, yeah, which I want you to talk about their role on that. And it also, the Assembly version said the Senate president would name members of the study commission, and oh, that got fixed. We need to have the Senate majority leader. So give me your take on that deal.
So Fitzgerald really had a big complaint about the process. And the process complaint was that he wasn't involved in discussions in the Assembly, and his finance team wasn't involved in those discussions. Now, Van Wongard, State Senator from Racine, was in those talks.
He was in that room with the governor in the Assembly's Speaker's Conference.
But if Fitz isn't there and finance isn't there, that's a big part of his caucus. So he kind of had a process complaint. I think he was able to get past that in part because they addressed his kind of real issue, mm-hmm, which was a policy issue of oversight. In the original version that the Assembly sent over, they call it passive review with Joint Finance. You can send something to the Budget Committee, and they have a chance to like 14 days to look at it. If they don't object, then it becomes law. This new process says they have to approve it. So it's a little, it may seem like a nuance to people, but it gives a more active role for the Finance Committee to say, no, we're going to approve everything in this plan. before it becomes law and goes forward. And that address fits his problem.
Well, the Assembly passed plan also authorized bonding of $350 million for a new prison. I assume the Senate stripped that out?
I blank off the top of my head about that. But, you know, I anticipate that this is going to be an issue that they kind of needed. I should say, this issue they kind of needed. Because Walker needs this badly to shore up that flank about Lincoln Hills, all things have been going on, and quite frankly, some lawmakers do too. I mean, there have been a lot of stuff going on in that prison. If you don't act on it, it gives the impression you guys can't govern, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this kind of addresses the governing issue.
Yeah.
They were worried about a perception leaking into Madison of this is the kind of dysfunction of Washington, D.C. coming home to roost in Wisconsin because Republicans can't govern. They may have kind of pushed that aside just a little bit with some of the stuff they had pulled off with like bills like this.
Yeah, but you and I saw, after the Assembly accepted the Senate changes, you and I saw a press release from Democratic Rep. Goyke and Republican Rep. Schrock, chair of the Corrections Committee, declaring victory in that these juvenile prisons will close by 2021. So they were willing to accept that as job one.
I also saw it as this is just the beginning of more.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. Also, another deal, the Assembly took the governor's $100 million per child, checks mailed out by September 1, and accepted the scaled back sales tax holiday because the senator said it should only apply to clothing up to $75, computer purchases up to $750, computer supplies up to $250, school supplies up to $75. This scaled back the price tag from $50 to about $12 million.
$52 to about $12, yeah. So this is actually, it's very close to the sales tax holiday Governor Walker had in the budget originally, which had 11-point-something-dollar price tag, and Senate Republicans said no way.
Yeah.
This was one of their compromises, was accepting this. And in fact, Scott Fitzgerald was outside the Senate Tuesday morning before they went to the floor, and I, the reporter, caught him quickly to ask, like, well, what are you guys going to do today? And when he said they were going to do the sales tax holiday with the child credit, I looked at him and he said, did I just blow your mind?
Yes.
With a kind of a smirk on his face.
Did.
And I was like, you have no idea. This is one of the ones that I wasn't seeing last week, and people I talked to weren't seeing the avenue forward. Because to them, this was a cut and dried issue for the Senate Republicans. They were not going to spend $50 million on what they thought was a gimmick. I mean, and quite frankly, Senate Republicans, not all of them maybe, but a lot of them still feel like the $12 million is still a gimmick. They don't like the idea of doing this.
I know, which is so intriguing because you had Senator Coles go down. Coles say no, and the only reason it passed is
LaTanya Johnson.
Yeah, a Democrat from Milwaukee voted for it.
Who I believe supported it in committee as well.
17-15. Sent it to the Assembly sent it to the governor.
Yeah.
It's okay, but the governor wins on $100 checks, which Representative Shanklin called a shameful attempt to bribe voters before the November election.
That's the first time I've seen a check go out to a voter in election year. Probably won't be the last.
That's true, but the Republicans in the Assembly stood up and said, look, this is helping parents. How many of those checks are you going to get?
I'll get $200.
You'll get $200. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's also on the governor's desk. Now let's talk about things that aren't on the governor's desk. The governor wanted Foxconn-like tax breaks for Kimberly Clark to avoid the six hundred job losses in the Fox Valley. Why was that a non-starter in the Assembly? And excuse me, that's a district of Senate President Senator Rod.
In the end, the company didn't say it would take the credits. It couldn't deliver. Yes, these will make a difference. The company has basically been saying recently that they're still negotiating with the union without concessions from them. They can't say. They didn't deliver by Tuesday of, yes, we would take them, so what's the point of passing it if they're not going to use them? And, oh, by the way, if you do pass them, you set a precedent going forward. So there is some fodder. I saw Democrats, nail Leah Vukmir, because running for U.S. Senate, that she left 600 jobs in the dust. I don't know from talking to people. I'm not an economist. I am not sure this would have mattered either way if they'd pass these tax credits to save these 600 jobs. I am not somebody who can sit here and tell you that in a global restructuring, $100 million in change is going to make a big difference. But it could have been something symbolic to people who wanted it that we're trying to help Kimberly Clark.
But look at the pattern here. You had almost $3 billion in tax breaks for Foxconn. That package also included up to $12.5 million over 10 years for Fiserv. And now the governor said we need the same tax breaks for Kimberly Clark, and the Senate can't do it. It's just intriguing.
I saw Johnson Controls announce some layoffs this week. I'm not sure how many jobs in Wisconsin. It's part of their global effort. Every Wisconsin employer now, a big one, are they going to ask? Are they going to have the handout? And will the lawmaker of that district say, hey, we got to help employer X because we did this? And one thing I heard, a theory I heard about Foxconn is that yes, it's not very popular outstate, but it'll get less popular if you're in, let's say, Eau Claire, and your factory that you like closes, and they don't get help.
Right.
It makes it, it compounds the unhappiness about that.
Will Senate President Roger Roth pay a price for their failure to pass this?
Excellent question. That district is, in presidential years, it can kind of like tease Democrats. They can be competitive. In gubernatorial years, it hasn't been very competitive. But we haven't seen like a year like what this could be in a long time. So I have no idea what to expect in that district. But, you know, we'll see.
Another thing that didn't get passed, there wasn't a deal on the governor's $50 million for rural development. Why did that fall off?
Cost. Senate Republicans just said no. Cost, and also they're looking at WEDIC and saying, look, these guys are not spending everything they have already. So why do they need another $50 million a year earmarked for this? Why can't they repurpose money that they have that they don't use and do this? So they had some questions about that as well.
Okay. Late yesterday, new topic. A Dane County judge, who, by the way, was appointed by the governor, told the governor, you should call special elections in Assembly Senate District 1, Door County, and Assembly District 42 for Keith Rip and former Senator Frank Lissay joined the Walker administration. Now, I'm unsure whether DOJ is going to appeal this. They say they're studying it. But how big of a deal is this?
It's hard to know because of the appeals process. Like, I can't tell you we're going to have special elections this year in those seats. By the time we have them, it won't matter because they're gone.
Right.
But the point, one of the things the judge said was DOJ is completely misreading the law. That's a plain law about when you have to call a special election. Their argument was you only have to call a special election between January 1st and May something of an election year. Well, the judge said, so if a lawmaker takes office in January of 19 and something unfortunate happens and passes away the next day, you don't have to fill that seat till the following November of 2020. How's that work? So I know Robin Voss was very adamant this is another Dane County liberal activist.
And he said something like, what's in the water in Dane County where you have a Republican named the judge and then she, in this case, rules against the governor?
And it was interesting. The judge had like this almost like a preemptive comment in her decision of, you know, the Walker administration is always talking about the rule of law and following the letter of the law, and here they are misreading a very plain statute. I mean, logically speaking, you weren't going to fill it. I mean, unless the governor called it like in right away in December, you would have had a shot to fill that seat before they finished up. We weren't aware of a March 20 whatever, you know, floor session with the two houses because we thought they'd be done earlier. But practically speaking, you're not going to get these seats filled when they didn't do anything.
Okay, but what about a wild card idea here? The U.S. Supreme Court orders the Wisconsin legislature to redraw the district lines. Then, wouldn't it be more critical to have that Senate District 1 and Assembly District 42 filled?
Oh, there's that. There's also the whole thing. Well, the Supreme Court, we're getting to the point where we're now out from April 15th when nomination papers get circulated.
Yeah.
I've had some people tell me that they think it's really hard to see the Supreme Court stepping in and saying, you need to redraw these lines right before.
Every day that U.S. Supreme Court ruling is delayed makes it less likely that they're going to order it for this November
election. Because they're due June 1st. So, I mean, you could see where you can get it. I mean, they can draw a map really quickly. If they wanted to, they could. They have the programs to do it. But getting one that would survive, I mean, be palatable, meet all these standards, I mean, it's getting to be crunch time, so there's less and less chance that that's going to come down.
Okay. Okay, let's have your stock picks.
So, right, so Scott Walker, I mean, if you look at the governor's State of the State address and what he asked for, he's getting in the end almost everything. The ones he's not getting are that $50 million for rural economic development and a bill on pre-existing conditions. Most everything else, a welfare overhaul, $100 child tax credit, this reinsurance program.
Reinsurance, $200 million program.
They delivered on all these things. So now for Walker, he's got to go out and sell it. You know, this is part of what the challenge is for him now. He's also got 2.9% unemployment rate, another thing he can talk about in selling how things are going.
I'm glad you brought that up. The governor said that's a record, 2.9 million.
Obviously,
I'm sorry, 2.9% unemployment.
Obviously, the court decision this week about the special election is not the best thing for him. Now, for Walker, Democrats are going to go out there and say, look, this is a guy who's in trouble, and every time he's in trouble, he spends $100 million. You know, he's trying to cater to suburban women because they've been leaving the Republican Party in droves this year. There's your $100 per child tax credit, trying to kind of reach out to them. The health reinsurance program, health care is a major issue for that demographic this year from what we've been told. There's your, you know, reinsurance program, $200 million. So
yeah.
They get a guy who's flailing a little bit trying to find some footing in this environment.
Okay, and mixed.
So GOP relations, so they pull it out of the fire, but it was ugly in the process. And to be quite frank, I was told that this whole idea of going to extraordinary recession was a Hail Mary that they pulled out like at last minute, and it worked. So here's why that's important. So in regular recession, you know, they set their floor calendar in January of the odd numbered year, right? And we're going to meet here. Specialist, what Governor Walker called. So he wants them to come back in special session on school safety.
Safety.
Extraordinary recession allowed the Senate to pass the bills it wanted to in regular session, because it sent them to the Assembly in extraordinary session, which allows you to get those bills in the form they're in, and also restricts what the minority party can do to bring back up. I know this is very wonky, but what it also did was Robin Voss said, I want to come back, and open the door to Democrats throwing everything they could on the floor, you know, pulling this bill, pulling that bill. It gave an avenue to restrict what could come in. So that kind of pushed that door open to a compromise. Scott Fitzgerald gave in on the sales tax holiday.
Yeah.
Robin Voss gave in and saying he was not going to come back at all in anything but school safety. He came back. Now, they still, though, have Robin Voss amending the, in his caucus, amending the school safety bill and sending it back. Now, is that a true, they really care about that issue? Maybe. Or is it a stick back of the Senate? Well, okay, we took care of this issue. Now you guys deal with it. We can blame you for what's going on. I mean, honestly, this has been a sausage making is always ugly. You never want to see the process. Will voters remember it come November? We'll see. But Republicans are trying to avoid, again, that perception of that they can't, that it's functional, that they can't govern. The problems in D.C. are coming to Madison. They're trying to avoid that perception. And we'll see if they did.
But here's what intrigued me. You have four Republican senators who are fairly new to the Senate, who served with Voss in the Assembly. And we're talking about Kapinga, and we're talking about Strobel, and we're talking about Craig, and we're talking about Nass. Are they playing a role in kind of payback to the Speaker here? Because they served with him.
Good question. And, like, you know, there's all kinds of things. Like this gun bill, this background checks, again, they're Republicans who I talked to yesterday was like, I don't know why we're doing this. You know, this is not going to sit well with the NRA. Like, what are we doing? You know, is this going to hurt the base? Vicki McKenna, talk show host out of Mazda, also from Milwaukee.
WIBA.
She was ripping this thing on Twitter yesterday. You know, I mean, but it's also an 80% issue with voters. So, I think they're looking forward to getting out of here, just being done, and I'll go back and campaign and try and figure out what the environment's going to be like this fall.
Okay, and falling?
Corrections. Lincoln Hills has been a problem for Walker, for Republicans. We had a settlement this week, $19 million roughly.
Yeah.
A young woman who I think tried to hang herself in her cell. They ignored the call for, I can't remember how, 23 minutes, something like that.
Right.
Permanent brain damage. This is a symbol of the problem at Lincoln Hills. And oh, by the way, it came, someone announced the day that the state Senate voted to approve this prisons package. Now, Fitz said there's no connection between the two, but Democrats are looking, look, they're trying to cover up, you know, kind of push aside these bad news things and try to move forward. And quite frankly, the Republicans needed to pass this bill to shore up that flank for Governor Walker and for them, you know, come November.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a record settlement in this case. Okay, you're not taking my bet on Spotted Cow, the Senate doesn't come back?
I think that's a bad bet to take.
Okay. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for March 23rd.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.